Before we get to that verse, I'd like you to turn to the book of Isaiah 55 and verse 11. I want to talk about the Word of God today. And this is the third message of a series of four messages that I've been preaching this year on how you can be a light in the world. How you can be a light in the world. This is a dark world. Man, it's dark. I mean, we're doing great in America financially, militarily. We're getting safer and more peace and crimes down and unemployment's down and there's all kinds of good news in our country, except spiritually. Spiritually, it's as dark as it's ever been. And no president can bring about revival. It has to be the church and those of us who know the Lord, who are the light of the world. I'm bringing a message, part three of four, this morning on how you can be a light in the world. The first message was a few weeks ago, and that was by your life, by being a good testimony. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven by being a good Christian testimony, by not being like the world, but walking in the newness of life that the Lord said He would give us in Romans 6 and verse 4. And being a testimony by being different from this world. We are, the Bible says, living epistles, read and known of all men. People are not reading the Bible, they're reading us. That was the first sermon. The second was on our lips. First of all, our life. Second of all, our lips. And that is, we got to say something. There is power in the word of the Lord, but it has to be spoken. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And by the way, thank you for praying. So many people said they were praying Thursday night for the funeral. And boy, we sensed the power of God there out in Rochester. Barely lived to get there and barely lived to get home because of the weather. But what a great, great funeral. And people received Christ as their Savior and they were born again and saved. And it's just a simple gospel. It's just when it's spoken in the nursing homes. Pastor tells me that people get saved and in the twilight of their lives. And Ty Cobb was one of the greatest. He was one of the greatest baseball players ever. And I don't have his story here. He got saved on his deathbed. He said, tell everyone that I shouldn't have waited at the bottom of the ninth to get saved. He said, I should have got saved in the top of the first. And I'm glad Ty Cobb got saved. And people can get saved in the nursing homes by the power of the Word of God. And I want to talk about literature today. Number one, life. Number two, lips. And number three, part three today is on literature. Notice the promise here in Isaiah 55 and verse 11. It says this, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I want to read a story about a gospel tract here. This is a true story. I don't have the name of the man. But a story about a professional diver. This is way back in the old days. A professional diver said he had in his house what would probably strike a visitor as a very strange chimney ornament. The shells of an oyster holding fast a piece of printed paper. The possessor of this ornament was diving on the coast when he observed at the bottom of the sea this oyster on a rock with a piece of paper in its mouth, which he detached and commenced to read through the goggles of his headdress. It was a gospel tract. And coming to him this strange and unexpected way so impressed his unconverted heart that he said, I can hold out against God's mercy in Christ no longer. since it pursues me thus. He became, while in the ocean's depth, a repentant, converted, and sin-forgiven man. A gospel track in an oyster's mouth at the bottom of the ocean led to his salvation in Jesus Christ. The power of God's Word. My Word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. There's so many stories about gospel tracts. One man in England by the name of Richmond Lee took a gospel tract one time and dropped it on the pavement with this prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that a bad man would pick it up. A bad man walking by picked it up, put it in his pocket, and later, because of his behavior, went to prison. But he took the gospel tract with him to prison. He read the gospel tract in prison, and his name was John Bunyan. John Bunyan then became, in prison, an avid student of the Scriptures and a preacher of the Word of God, and many times was sent back to prison. But while in prison, he became converted and walked in the newness of life, and he was able to use parchments and pieces of sticks and quills to scrape moss, green moss, off the side of the prison and write a book called Pilgrim's Progress. As a result of the book Pilgrim's Progress, over 1 million people have been added to the body of Christ, receiving Christ as their Savior, because somebody threw a tract on the ground one day and prayed, Lord, help a bad man to pick it up. That man was named Lee Richmond, who dropped that gospel tract. A clergyman in England asked the dying Christian woman where she found the Savior. And she gave him a piece of paper torn from an American journal containing part of Charles Spurgeon's sermons. The scrap had been wrapped around a package that came to her from Australia. The words of Spurgeon were read by her and were the means of leading her to Christ. Piece of paper. Commenting on this incident, the pastor said, think of it. A sermon preached in England was printed in America and came in a package wrapped to a lady in Australia and was part of the wrapping paper there, which came back to England and was the means of converting this woman. The power of the printed page. Turn to Psalm 68:11, or it's at the top of your chart. Psalm 68 and verse number 11. David, I don't think, had any clue what he was about ready to say, except that he simply wrote what was dictated to him by the Holy Ghost. In Psalm 68 and verse 11, he said these words, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. Now, if somebody could just collect a couple, maybe two, three of those pew Bibles, the skinny black Bibles. Get about two or three of them and bring them up to me. I want to just make an illustration here. While he's doing that, I want to read you another story of a man's conversion. One of Hitler's bodyguards was a man named Kurt Wagner. He adored Hitler and reverenced him as a god. At the end of the war, with Hitler a suicide in a Berlin bunker, Kurt's faith was shattered in his Führer, and he planned to commit suicide. Thank you, brother. Put it right there. Going for a final cup of coffee, he picked up a discarded gospel tract and read it. First carelessly and then with interest. As a result of reading this gospel tract, he sought out a godly pastor who led him to Christ. Kurt was transformed from a hardened man into a peace-loving man. And he became a new creation in Christ because he received Christ as his personal Savior. What a testimony of Kurt Wagner. I'm pen pals with David Berkowitz. I've shared that with you before. I received some of the most wonderful, spiritually deep letters from him about his conversion in 1987 after being in prison for 10 years. Somebody gave him a Bible. And reading Psalm 34 one day, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him all of his troubles. David accepted Christ as his Savior. And he went from being a demon-possessed serial killer to a brother in Christ who has written a tract and other articles about his conversion. What a transformation, because somebody in prison said, "Here, David, have a Bible." And this Jewish man who was in Anton LaVey's Church of Satan, demon-possessed serial killer, is now a born-again Christian. And his life has changed. And he has been a model prisoner since 1987. Many decades ago, a lady gave some leaflets to two actors. One of the actors, led by this tract to attend church and so becoming converted, was Dr. George Larimer, who later became pastor of Tremont Temple in Boston. Through his influence, Russell Conwell was led into the ministry. Thus, the Baptist Temple in Philadelphia, together with the work in Tremont Temple and the personal influence of these two notable speakers, is traceable to one little lady who gave a leaflet to some actors, and they were gloriously converted to Christ. There's so many stories here. John Scudder, a promising young physician in New York, while visiting one of his patients one day, picked up a tract on the table and read it. The result was that he and his wife ended up going to India as missionaries. Their 9 children all became missionaries in that land. By this time, the Scudders have given almost 600 years of continuous missionary service in India, because when he was a doctor, he picked up a gospel tract someone set alongside a patient, and he read it and he got saved, and his whole family got saved and became missionaries to India. You see, this is one way you and I can be a light in this world, is by distributing gospel literature, by passing out tracts, flyers, booklets, entire Bibles, John Romans, wherever we go, having no clue what may happen with that piece of paper. It may be trashed and thrown out, but it may be read. A guy named Sadhu Singh, S-I-N-G-H, was distributing gospels in the central province of India. He came to some non-Christians on the train that he was riding and offered them a copy of the Gospel of John. The man took it, tore it in pieces in anger, and threw it out the window. Well, that seemed to be the end of that Gospel of John. But it so happened in the providence of God that there was a man walking along the train tracks who was anxiously seeking for truth. And walking along the line that very day, he picked up, as he walked along, a little bit of paper. He looked at it, and the only words on that little bit of paper were these 4 words, "The bread of life." It was from John 6:35. He did not know what that meant, but he inquired among his friends, and one of them said, "Oh, I can tell you, it's out of that Christian book. You must not read it, or you will be defiled." The man thought for a while and then said, "I want to read a book that contains this beautiful phrase, the bread of life." He was shown where that sentence occurred in the Gospel of John, our Lord's words, "I am the bread of life." And as he studied the gospel, light flooded into his heart. He came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and became a preacher of the gospel because of a little bit of paper. And God's Spirit using that he found alongside of a train track. It triggered something in him. It triggered a search. And we read earlier, God said, "My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the purpose whereto that I have sent it." We need to get out the word of the Lord. Pass out tracts, Bibles. A son of one of the chiefs of Burdwain was converted by a single tract. He could not read, but he went to Rangoon, a distance of 250 miles with that tract. There, a missionary's wife taught this boy how to read. And in 48 hours, he could read the tract through. He then took a basket full of tracts and with much difficulty preached the gospel in his own home and was a means of converting hundreds to God. He became a man of influence and people flocked to hear him. In 1 year, he baptized 1,500 natives in Arrecan, A-R-R-E-C-A-N, as members of the church. All this through one little tract. That tract in those days cost 1 cent. Whose cent was it? God knows. And as a little boy, he took that track and with great interest, he walked 250 miles to find somebody that could teach him how to read it. And he got saved and became a gospel preacher. With great difficulty, he reached so many of his own people because of a gospel track. God's Word. Does God believe in the printed Word? He does. Did you notice when we read earlier 2 John chapter 2, did you notice how many times John said, "I have written, I have written, I have written, I have written unto you children, I have written unto you fathers, I have written unto you young men. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I have written, I have written." Notice our verse today, Psalm 68:11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. See, God gave the word. I don't think David had a clue what he was talking about. It was hard to find the word of God in his day. All they had is scrolls and other scrolls that were written by scribes. They were so valuable. But he said, the Lord, what he said here 3,000 years ago was prophetic. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. Just think of the publication of the word of God. Let's think of the publication, for instance, of the King James Bible for a little while. I wish anyone that was watching had this handout. I hope you can understand what I'm about ready to say. We have a handout here of just how many King James Bibles have been printed since 1611. And it's based on King James Bibles being stacked next to each other, 1 inch apart like these Bibles I have here. If you could just imagine this. You could take these and just stack them along the ground. And let's say they're 1 inch wide. And we just start stacking them up as they have been printed. I want to go through some figures that I hope will maybe just cause us all to really appreciate what we have more and get it out more. The King James Bible is the Word of God. There have been 5 billion King James Bibles printed since 1611 for the last 409 years. It's the bestseller all the time. But not only is it the bestseller, it's the most given away one. People give them away for free. 5 billion King James Bibles has been printed. How many is that? Well, we're going to try to illustrate today using some math. So you got to kind of follow me through here. Number one, Picture 1,000 King James Bibles stacked up like this, stacked along the road or along the ground or something. Picture 1,000 of them, and they're 1 inch wide each. 1 inches wide each. Stacked together, 1,000 Bibles would be 83 feet long, about from here to the road. That would be 83 feet. Now, if we divide those 1,000 Bibles or 1,000 inches by 12 inches, there's 12 inches in a foot, that's 83.33 feet of Bibles. Number two, there are 1,000 in a million, which would be 83,333.33 feet of Bibles in a million. That's the distance if they were 1 inches thick. Now, a mile is 5,280 feet. So you divide 5,280 feet into 83,333 feet. And that means a million Bibles would be a line of Bibles 15.783 miles. So in other words, they would run from here over to our church in Angola and back. That is how many Bibles there would be in a million Bibles. Take a million Bibles, an inch wide, to go over to our church in Angola and back here, which is about 15 miles. That's 1 million. But number three, 1 billion is 1,000 million. So you multiply that 15.783 miles by 1,000, and a billion King James Bibles, 1 inches thick, stacked up alongside of each other, would cover 15,783 miles of Bibles next to each other. So 1 billion Bibles would cover around 63.4% of the circumference of the earth, because the circumference of the earth is 24,900 miles. But that's just 1 billion. There have been 5 billion King James Bibles printed. Number four, 5 billion King James Bibles printed and lined up next to each other would circle the circumference of the earth 3.17 times. Now, this is a big planet. If you can imagine Bibles like this, stacked up this close to each other, 1 inch apart, and that line of Bibles goes around the circumference of the earth 3 times and more. That's how many King James Bibles have been printed. Now, how long would it take you to see those? Well, let's go to the last point, number five. It takes 35.57 hours to fly around the circumference of the earth at 700 miles per hour. So when you're flying up there, they're usually going around 600-700 miles an hour, in case you didn't know. That's why not a lot of people survive airplane wrecks, okay? It's not like running into a tree at 50 miles an hour. They're moving. Now, none of you have ever taken a flight that long. What's the longest flight you've taken? Anyone here 15 hours? 35 consecutive hours. You never came down. What? Oh, I mean, yeah, 30, yeah, okay. No, I mean consistently. If it was possible, and I don't think they make a plane that can possibly do this, but if they had a plane that could fly around the earth without landing, it would take them 35.57 hours at 700 miles an hour. Pretend you're looking out the window and all you see is this blur of white in their King James Bibles. And you look down for 35 and a half hours at 700 miles an hour, and you never see the same Bible twice. That's a lot of Bibles. But that's only once around the earth. To see them all, you have to fly around the earth 3 times which would be 105, 106 hours. Can you imagine if you could get in a plane for 106 hours that didn't land, going 700 miles an hour, and you're looking down out of the window and somehow you can stay awake for 106 hours. And you're looking at King James Bibles as you circle the earth three times and you never see the same Bible twice. Brethren, that's a lot of Bibles. Do you understand today that the King James Bible is the most printed book in all of human history by far regarding any subject? You know, most bestsellers today, their lifespan of most bestsellers is 7 years. That's a bestseller. 7 years, and they don't even print it anymore. They can't print King James Bibles fast enough anymore. Now, here's something interesting. I mean, that's a lot of Bibles. That's a lot of Bibles. I don't know if that helped you understand, but there's something special about this book right here. None of the other translations can make that claim. I believe God superintended over that. There are 7.5 billion people on earth. One third of them speak English. One third of them are learning English. How many is that? Two thirds of 7.5 is what? 5 billion. Okay? One third is 2.5. Two thirds is 5 billion. That's how many people are either read English or are learning English. How many King James Bibles have been printed? These are not tough questions. 5 billion. Do you think maybe God knew that that would happen on earth in the last days? Did you know there's only about 14 million Hebrew-speaking people in the world? 14 million is a drop in the bucket compared to how many King James Bibles. Did you know there's only about 14 million to 18 million Greek-speaking people in the world? That's absolutely nothing. Hardly anybody speaks Hebrew or Greek, is basically what I'm saying. But two-thirds of the world is either speaking English or trying to learn it. Do you think maybe God knew that? I don't think David had any clue how true his words would be when 3,000 years ago he said, "The Lord gave the word, great was the company of them that published it." Great was it. And that's just the full Bible. How many New Testaments have been printed? How many John Romans have been printed? How many gospel tracts and flyers and booklets based on the King James Bible have been printed? You know what our Lord said? He said these words in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. My word shall not pass away." If God believes in the word, we should too. We should be a light in the world by distributing as much of the scriptures as we can by literature. I want to encourage you to leave gospel tracts laying around. I remember I left one with a guy sitting in Buffalo General Hospital. He was all by himself. I went up to him and I said, "How are you, sir?" And he said, I'm okay. He says, "My wife's in ICU." And I said, "Can you tell me your wife's name?" He said, "Mary." And I said, "I want you to know, sir, I'll be praying for her." And I gave him a gospel tract. And he read that gospel tract and later came to church, Hilltop Baptist Church, and got saved. Me and Al visited his wife on several occasions in the nursing home. She got saved. And he gave me the privilege of doing his wife's funeral when she died. And there was probably about 70 or 80 people there who heard the gospel. Because in a waiting room, I just felt led to give that man a gospel tract. Sometimes they're received angrily, and we read stories earlier about people who somehow that tract was used by God. And so this is a way. Put gospel tracts in correspondence. When you send out Christmas cards, put Christmas tracts in there. Find excuses, Easter cards, birthdays, graduations, people you know. Put a gospel tract in there. Your phone bill, electric bill, water bill, gas bill, car payment, mortgage payment. Put a gospel tract in there. You have no clue until you get to heaven what God might do. Leave some at a laundromat and in a waiting room, just a couple, not a lot, a couple, but in the waiting room at ICU or the hospital, or everybody else leaves their stuff there. Leave some there. And we used to leave them in phone booths, but I remember people used to, phone booths, they used to have this thing where all your change came back. Some of you remember that. They'd stick a gospel tract in there and a bunch of change. And somebody, whoa, look what I hit, you know, hit the lottery here. And I got all this change, gospel tracts. When you go to a restaurant, leave a gospel tract, but leave a big tip. Don't be a cheapskate. Leave a big tip for their soul. And maybe carry some fresh ones. I didn't bring my thing. I have a thing I carry. Keep them fresh. If they're bent up and soiled and old, throw them away. We got more. And let us witness and be a light to the world with gospel literature. God believes in the written word. In fact, that guy that was begging for help for his family in Luke 16:19-31, he was in hell. He said, boy, send somebody. Abraham, send somebody from the grave so they can tell my five brethren so they don't come to this place. And Abraham said what? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them read them. They've got the word of God. Let them read the word of God. His word won't return void. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it has no fear. I have fears. I'm going to just be transparent. I have fears sometimes about witnessing to some people. I try to work through those fears. I don't let it stop me, but tracts have no fears. They have no fears at all. And somebody picking that up can read it, and it can offend them, and they can get mad, and they can throw the tract out or everything, but they're going to have that seed sown in their hearts. Let's turn to page 482. More about Jesus. I want to encourage you, and we're going to get a little bit more organized here in the very near future with our tracts. Get some out here where you can pick them up. There's a resource room back there. And we're working on reprinting, updating some of the covers so they look better, more first class. Smileys. People love smileys. We have the privilege, the Faith Bible Baptist Church, of rewriting those smileys. So it's a better gospel presentation now. We did that. And last year, Amazing Grace gave out over 1 million of them. 1 million of them. They have the good, we got the cross in there, we got the blood in there, we got the death, burial, resurrection in Christ in there, and it's a better gospel presentation than it used to be. And only heaven will tell. My dad got saved from a gospel tract. And someone gave him a Bible. And they witnessed to him. But he was reading his Bible at lunch one day on at Casanova Creek in Buffalo, sitting on a rock. And it all made sense. And he said, Lord Jesus, save me. He's 88 and he's walked in newness of life ever since that day in 1968. When he trusted Christ because his cousin Gary was sending him gospel tracts from Vietnam when Gary was flying B-52 bombing missions over there. Gary got saved. And Gary knew my mom died and his cousin, my dad, George Cole, was really struggling. He started sending him gospel tracts. Men at work gave him gospel tracts. I wasn't saved through gospel literature, but my dad was. And my dad took us to church where we got saved. We can be witnesses. Let's stand today. More about Jesus. Maybe you can become a paper missionary and you say, I'm not good at talking to people. Well, start with paper. Give out tracts. As we sing, you come.